off and wandering, going up the road, what I'm going to preach on too. If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Philippians and in Hebrews chapter number 11. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be here this morning, and appreciate your pastor and his wife and Brother Owen, his wife, being so kind to us last night and having a good time of fellowship. It is in my heart this morning to use you as a guinea pig, if you don't mind. I've never preached this series. It's been in the makings for a while. And I'm just going to try one of them out on you and see how it floats. It may float and it may not. But I'm going to try it. A couple of verses, the foundation of this series, in Philippians chapter 3. Paul is an old man, and he has written over half of the New Testament. And in verse 10 is his life goal. Some of you have been saved for years, and this ain't your life goal. That I may know him. You imagine a man has written over half of the New Testament, and he's been walking with God for years, and he doesn't think he knows much about God. He wants to know more about God. The other verse, if you have the Bible there this morning, is in Hebrews chapter number 11. Many believe that Paul also penned this book. In verse 6, he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he was." It doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. "Must believe that he is." I'd like to take these two verses as a foundation and preach to you this morning on the subject of theology. Theology. Made up of two words, theo, the word God, and ology, the study of. The study of God. Most, and I include myself, Baptists often suffer from little God syndrome. He has never, and he shall never be, a little God. He is much bigger than we make him. Little God syndrome. This morning, I would like to look at the subject of God is omniscient. God is omniscient. As I have studied his omniscience, I've been reminded of a little quote I heard from Carl Robbins, a Presbyterian preacher. Good theology creates great doxology. Reason why we're often dead at church is because we have a little God. And as I have studied his omniscience, I have come away with this doxology. I must cry it aloud. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou art holy. I begin this morning, if you have the Bible, I hope you'll keep your scriptures close by. We want to look at several portions this morning. Psalms 147, if you have the Bible there this morning. As we look at the subject of God is omniscient, it is defined as omni, is the word all. And closing out that little word omniscient, the little word niscient, is knowing. God is all-knowing. I heard recently of a contemporary pastor up north. He said recently on a Sunday morning, God knows everything that is knowable. He says the future is not yet knowable. He says it makes it a great comfort if you're comforting someone who has had a loved one to die, that you're able to tell them that God was as shocked at their death as you were. I say that's blasphemy. Since it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, I would ask the dear brother who made the appointment. I know one thing, I didn't. Ain't no way I'm putting my name in that appointment book. But he has. Defining omniscience this morning, Psalms 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding, his knowledge is infinite. His knowledge cannot be calculated. It is beyond calculation. Could I mention, if you have the Bible there in Psalms 94, the wonder of his knowledge. Just exactly what does he know? He says in the verse number 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts. Did not know if you'd see the S or not. I thought I'd underline it for you. Of man. He knows all your thoughts this morning. Past. He knows the thoughts you're having right now. That guy's a fat boy. Surely he can't go very long. We'll be out of here pretty quickly. And future. He knows them all. It amazes me this morning that he knows all of the thoughts, past, present, and future, of everyone in this room. He knows the thoughts of everyone, past, present, and future, in Pontotoc. He knows the thoughts, past, present, and future, of everybody in the state of Mississippi. He knows all the thoughts, past, present, and future, of everyone in the United States. And there are 8,019,816,189 in the world population. And he knows every one of their thoughts, past, present, and future, all at the same time. When I see that, I want to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou art holy. The wonder of his knowledge. God knows every thought, both fixed and fleeting. He says in Matthew 11, he says, if Sodom and Gomorrah had have bowed to the truth, they would not have been destroyed. Often we make statements, well, maybe if I would have done this, maybe this would have happened. He knows those thoughts too. He knows all our thoughts. He knows all of the possibilities that we might run through our brain. Every thought, he is infinitely aware of them. I don't know about you. This is awful deep. This may be way over your head. When I think that he knows everything I'm thinking, there's some things I'm thinking I need to stop thinking. Because he's seeing them. Especially us men that often have dirty thoughts go through our head. You might want to stop that because he's aware of them. I know nobody else is aware, but he is. He knows every thought. the wonder of his thoughts. If you have the Bible there, Job chapter number 21. Could I mention not only the wonder of his thoughts and his knowledge, could I mention the wind of his knowledge? In Job 21 in verse 22, shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? God has never been taught anything. He simply knows it all. He is omniscient. If you have the Bible there, Isaiah chapter number 40. When of his knowledge. Chapter number 40 and verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? What would be your answer to that? Who has directed God? Nobody. Or being his counselor hath taught him. Who has ever counseled him? When has he ever been in school under the instruction of another? Never. Verse 14, with whom took he counsel? Who instructed him and taught him? Who in the world taught him how to judge? Nobody. Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Nobody. I've often heard of a theory. It's called the time tunnel theory. That God looked down through time one day and saw what your decision was going to be according to salvation, and so he made his decision based on your decision. What a lie. Number one, makes God weak that he didn't know it all along. Second of all, makes your salvation a salvation of works, that you're silly enough to believe that God's waiting for you to decide something. Oh, no. I'm talking about the wonder of his knowledge. When I see his wonder this morning, all I can say is, holy, 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 Lord God, thou art holy. Good theology creates great doxology. Could I mention the works of God's knowledge? If you have the Bible there, Job chapter number 38. I see that God has past knowledge. The Bible says in Job 38, I'll wait for you to get there. I'm sort of slow going myself. Fingers don't work as well as they used to. Job chapter 38. Had an old preacher say not long ago, if you hang around here long enough, you're going to die or something. I would just leave that thought with you. He says in verse 4, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. He knows everything past, everything that has happened in the past, he is aware of it. He's the greatest of all historians this morning. He knows where time began and where time ends. He knows when every robin falls to the ground. He knows of the lost tribes. There is no lost scrolls with him. He even knows what is going on in the darkest places of Africa. He is well aware of what's going on in a Russian Siberian concentration camp. He knows down to the minutest detail of what went on in the Garden of Eden. He knows exactly what was said between Cain and Abel before Cain rose up and killed him. He knows exactly every word that we have said, every thought that we have ever had, and every thought that we will have. He knows the first thought that we've ever had. He knows the first words we ever said as a baby. He knows exactly now the last thought you're going to have, and He knows the last words you're going to say before you breathe your last breath. I say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Thou art holy. He is a God this morning who is omniscient. He knows it all. He knows all of the past. If you have the Bible there, Psalms 139, He knows everything in the present. This fascinates me. I hate to even show this verse to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. How many times do you think in your lifetime you have sat down? And how many times in your lifetime have you stood up? He says in verse number 2, Thou knowest my downsettings and mine uprisings. If you're interested in knowing, maybe when you see him one day, he can tell you exactly how many times you have sat down and every time you've got up. So at the end of this service, when you stand up, just think to yourself, he just changed the count. What a God. He knows every time you sit down. And some of you have probably, like me, you've been doing it too much. That's how come your ankles are swollen. Get up! Knows every time we sit. He is a present tense God. He knows everything of the past. He knows everything of the present. I notice if you have the Bible in Isaiah chapter number 48, not only does he the wind, he knows all of the past, he knows all of the present, but he knows all of the future. He says in Isaiah 48 in verse 3, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth out of my mouth and I showed them. I did them suddenly. They came to pass. He said it, it happened. He promised it, he performed it. Verse 4, because I knew that thou art an obstinate, thy neck is an iron sinew, and thou brow brass, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol have done them. My graven images and my molten images have commanded them. God knows past, present, and future. And when I see that he is omniscient this morning, all I can say is, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Thou art holy. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. When is the last time you realized that God was all-knowing and it created in you worship? You just wanted to lift your hands and say, glory to God. He knows it all. Could I mention not only the defining of omniscience, could I mention the dimensions of omniscience? There is the dimension of simplicity. Do not make this complex. It is extremely simple. He has never learned anything. He has never had a first-time thought. You'll never find God doing this. No! He has no first-time thoughts. He's never been taught anything. He just simply knows everything. Not only is there the dimension of simplicity, but this blows my mind. There is the dimension of simultaneously. He knows everything, past, present, future, all at the same time. And he ain't, I'm trying to get this down. No strain on him at all. He knows it all. You hear somebody say, well, bless God, he thinks he's a know-it-all. Well, he is. He is the only one that can claim, I know it all. Not only does he have the dimension of simplicity simultaneously, but there is the dimension of sovereignty. He knows all things infallibly. You'll never find God saying, well, I think. That's me and you. A lot of times we want to bring God down to that level. I wonder what God's thinking. He ain't thinking nothing. He knows it all. Well, maybe I'll do that. No! You'll never hear him saying that. He has the dimension of sovereignty. When I realize the dimensions of God's knowledge, I just want to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou art holy. Could I mention this morning, last of all, and I'll bring these thoughts to an end. Could I mention the dividends of omniscience? Preacher, what in the world would be gained for me to embrace this truth this morning? Bow my unworthy knee to the fact that God is omniscient. What do I get out of it? You have the Bible there this morning. Psalms 139 again. Psalms 139. I see there is a humbling dividend. A humbling dividend. You know, a lot of us don't like omniscience. Because that means God knows what you've been up to. I know you've been trying to hide it. You ain't hid it from him. He knows it. Psalms 139. I was thinking about that going down the road. I've been dealing with this old boy. He's dying. He's just got weeks to live. And I've been trying to get his family in church. He claims to be saved. And he emailed me yesterday, was telling me some things he had been dealing with. And I guess he's probably in his 40s. And I never knew this. He told me, he said he'd been dealing with an addiction to pornography since he was in college. He said, just in the last 6 months, he said, I've gotten some real victory over it. I thought about, man, he has been hiding that for 20 years. Years. His wife didn't even know it. Deep thought. He knowed it. That's the scary thought. It's a humbling dividend. It says in Psalms 139 in verse 6, David, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. When I realize this morning for the saint of God to realize that God is all-knowing, it is staggering to me. There's something that comes up in the side of my mind, in the computer of my mind, and it says, tilt! My mind cannot commute that God knows everything. The only thing I know to say is, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Thou art holy. Good theology will create great doxology. It's a humbling dividend for the saint of God. It just staggers at the wonder of it. But if you have the Bible there this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Preacher, what could be gain for me? What kind of dividend do I get out of this thing? The saint of God, it is a staggering humbling to know that God knows everything. But for the sinner, it's a fearful thing this morning. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never been saved, it'll scare you to death this morning that God knows everything. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You say, how in the world does he know everything I've done in secret? This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this. I'll be way over here. Because he's a know-it-all. He knows everything. Sinner friend, if you die this morning in your sin, he knows every sin that you've ever done. From the first sin you did as a little boy or a little girl, he has collected every one of them. He shall judge you for every last one of them without exception. But for the saint of God, my sins are gone. Placed in a state of non-existence, he says, I shall remember them no more. There is a humbling dividend. But I notice last of all, there is a hopeful dividend. Solomon said in the Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What in the world would I want to trust in him with all my heart for? He's know-it-all. Hey, there ain't nobody sitting on the pew with you, including you, that knows it all. Do you realize that he knows all about you? He knows your good points. He knows your bad points. He knows your strong points. He knows your weak points. And if you're saved, he still loves you. Ain't nobody on that pew like that. Oh, no, 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 no. They like you if you're good, but that liking will get weak if you're bad. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Well, why in the world would I not want to lean on what I know? This is deep because you don't know it all. What would you want to lean on you for? You don't even know a half, a third. You don't know nothing, really. And you teenagers here this morning, you ought to write a book while you know it all. I wished I would have wrote a book while I knowed it all. I often told my dad how to raise kids, and I ain't never raised one. And he wore Ritalin around his waist. Some of you will get that after a while. Man would let me drive his car. and write down the odiometer reading before I left. Look at it when I come back. I had a curfew, had to be in at 11 o'clock, and my daddy did not wait up for me. He went to bed, in my bed. First question when I woke him up, what time is it? If it was after 11, it's going to be trouble. Are you listening to me this morning? He is a God who knows it all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge you, God forbid. Acknowledge him. He's the one that knows it all. What in the world would I want to acknowledge him for? He will direct your path. Preacher, I just don't know what to do. Ask him. He knows. He knows it all. I love what old Charles Wesley said years ago. God omniscient, God all wise, with thy ever searching eye, look within me, view my heart, keep me pure in every part. God almighty, God of power, be thou nearer me every hour. Grace and glory to me give, in thy might within me live. God unchanging, God so dear, God afar and God yet so near. In thy majesty so fair, thou art present everywhere. God of love, God of love, guide my trusting soul aright. God of wisdom, God of power, be thou with me every hour. I think this morning that God is the all-knowing God. But the only thing I know to say is, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou art holy. We're standing this morning, our heads are bowed. Sister's coming back to the piano to play this morning.